journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. So badly. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. I'm trying to fix the situation as we speak.
Right.
Okay. Right. That should be getting a decent signal now. So, where are we? Only taking me 9 minutes to get this going. Anyway, good evening, brothers and sisters. This is June. We also sent on, we also apologize for sending out, on, Wall Street Radio, it says, May the 10th, instead of June the 10th. That month has seemed to have whacked by. I did have the feeling of, like, wanting to, stay in bed all the time. Here we are. Yes. If somebody would come back to me and say now that they can hear me, fairly well, or if I need to turn up, I do have more capacity. If you could get back to me, on the chat room and let me know. There we go. So, you could hear Dave laugh. Dave, turn your mic off. I can't, it's like you're adding, anyway, yes, there we go. Right. So, tonight, the journey is into energy. This is about tree energy. And it's about something that happened to me when I was 14 years old now. So some people who were listening to my show last night would have heard this story. The story continues, but I do need to recap it. So very briefly, for those who weren't around last night, I was 14 years old, and my dad had left bits of junk lying around, and there was this thing called a relay that came from his car. I think I also got like little, bumper packs. He used to get, you know, bumper packs of little bags of junk. It really is amazing. I'll get back to this, but, it really is amazing. If you have a large number of things, they're just generally junk. But if you have a large number of things that are bagged into, say, bags of 5 or 10, you have something valuable, you have something saleable. It's all about arrangement, really. So, we have bags of relays, and, so I'll explain what a relay is, for those who are not particularly technically minded. You will experience, a relay. It's a kind of silent slave. It is able to switch a large amount of current by switching a very small amount of current. What that means is, you can, switch the amount of current, for instance, to start a headlamp in a car, which is 50 watts at 12 volts. So that's several amps. And, if you look at the wiring inside your car, you'll see that, you know, there's really tiny little skinny wires, which don't look like they can handle very much power at all. That's pretty true. But what they do is they handle a very small amount of power that then operates a relay, and the relay does the big switching. So that's what a relay is normally used for. I was a kid, and I had these relays, and I was just playing around with them, you know, breaking them as usual. You know, that's what I used to do when I was a kid. I used to just break things, you know, just open them up, see how they worked, and, you know, that's it. And then I got to the point of putting them back together again, or attempting to put them back together again, and I can now almost get to the point where I could break something accidentally and have it fixed, and nobody would know the difference. So I've kind of honed my kind of clumsiness of breaking things all the time to the ability to fix things. I suppose that's one way of mastering one's own energies. Anyway, so I was playing with this relay, and I saw what it did, and I thought to myself at the time, I wonder what would happen if I made it switch on every time it switched off, or switch off every time it switched on. And I imagined how I would wire it in my head, and it's just a very simple rewiring to do this. And basically, you wire it through itself, the relay is actuated by a coil. Okay, all right. Let's delve inside the relay a little bit. Inside the relay is a coil, and this coil is copper coil, copper wire, lots and lots of turns. And what happens is when you put the electric current across it, very small electric current, but it makes an electromagnet out of that coil of wire. So it turns the copper coil into an electromagnet, and it creates a magnetic field around it. And that magnetic field draws to itself a little lever. That lever is made of iron, you see. So it pulls that little lever, and attached to that lever is a contact, a switch. And this switch can be, because the lever can move quite a way, you can have quite a heavy duty switch. And so this gives the ability to move large amounts of current without using massive wires. You just put the wires where they're needed, put the relay where it's needed, and put the actuator somewhere else, the thing that switches the relay. Meanwhile, okay, so really the operation of the relay is the normal operation is irrelevant, because what I did is I rewired it, and this created a situation where the thing energized. It created a magnetic field. The magnet was pulled towards it, the iron was pulled towards it, the switch broke, which then broke the current in the coil, so the coil collapses. The magnetic field in the coil collapses, and the switch returns to its default position, which is on, which then connects the coil, which actuates the magnetic field. The magnetic field pulls the iron, it pulls the switch off. The current goes away, so the cycle goes on, and this can happen like many times a second, and it comes it's a buzz, it's a kind of sound, and when I did this, I was very pleased with myself, because the aim of my little game that day was to make it buzz. And so why are you thinking, what's this got to do with revolutionary electricity? Okay, so here's the interesting bit. And I hope there's a few people listening to this, because I really want other people to try this, because it really does work. And anyway, so what it was is that I had this little 9-volt battery. That's these tiny little, it's called a PP3 in Britain. I don't know what it's called elsewhere. And it runs 9 volts. It's got two little studs at the end that connect to a little special connector. Everybody's had one of these. Everybody's done, you know, little transistor radios and everything like that that runs off the little, you know, guitar pedals. All those things runs off this little 9-volt battery, PP3. And so I had a PP3, and I had a little 9-volt relay, and I'd wired it up, and it was going zzzz. And I was really pleased with myself, because that's the aim of my game. That was what I wanted to do, is to make the thing buzz. But then I noticed because I was handling the thing and, you know, just poking the wires onto the different terminals to see which ones work. I noticed that, if I touched a particular pair of contacts, I would get a belt. I would get an electric shock. And, if you put your fingers across a 9-volt battery, you do not get an electric shock. It is not, I mean, if you put your tongue on it, right, you get that kind of very zingy electric taste. But to get an electric shock on your fingers, that takes quite a lot of volts, you know, more than 100, you know, or well, yeah, 100 volts will do it. So what I was discovering was that this 9-volt circuit was producing 100-volt pulsation, at least. And I was very pleased with that because I thought, what can I do with this? And what I did do was I connected a couple of wires to it and took it into school the next day. I got everybody to stand around, and we all stood, I got them to stand in a circle. I said, touch everybody, everybody touch each other's hand. So we form a chain. And I got one guy to hold one of the wires, and I held the other wire myself, and then I grabbed hold of the last guy in the chain. And everybody felt it, and everybody was jiggling up and down, thinking, wow, this is amazing. All from this tiny little 9-volt battery, you know, I was really impressed. Anyway, so we were all having fun with this, and going, it's great. I finally went up to my physics teacher, and I said, look, sir, look what this thing can do. And he kind of looked disdainfully down his nose and said, oh, yeah, that's back EMF. It's an annoyance. We normally try to get rid of it with a capacitor. And that was it. And that was my invention career in tatters on the floor of the school. From thence, it's been laying dormant. Until a couple of years ago. When I was reading from Cliff High, and Cliff High talking about the new electrics, and that the new electrics would be connected with people who would be exchanging information over YouTube. And over the course of a few months, I started looking at this group that Cliff High called a self-organizing collective of the new electrics. And what it transpired was that in amongst these enthusiasts who are basically making YouTube videos of little circuits that they're throwing together by, you know, twisting wires together and using what they call chocolate block connectors to create circuits, you know, not doing it like properly on a printed circuit board or a variable board, you know, it's just throwing it together, you know, like I said, you know, soldering the wires together. And they're making devices. And I was very surprised to see a device very much like mine that I'd been playing with when I was 14 years old. And I was very pleased to see that it was actually not an annoyance, and that this energy was something that could be used. It could be put to work. And so that got my mind thinking, and I thought, right, well, I really, really, really want to get one of these together. And so what I did is I went to the local car spares shop, and I said, can I have one of those relays? And because, you know, cars are full of them. In fact, I should have gone to someone's old car and ripped one out of the engine. There's about half a dozen, at least, in any car. So, you know, some of them more so. The more kind of heavy-duty electric things like the heated rear windows and all that sort of stuff. That's all run-off relays. I must say, that is the most fantastic cup of tea tonight. That's lovely. So with my little relay, and I ordered a bag of diodes from eBay, because you need one diode. A bag of diodes is like £2, or, you know, what's that, $4 from eBay, and you get an assortment, and it's good. When you're messing with energy, you need lots of diodes. They're very useful. A diode is a valve. It allows a current to flow from one direction but not back down the wire. So it's like a kind of spark arrester. It prevents the current flooding back once you charge something up. You don't want this thing to discharge all the way, so you put a diode in the way so it stops the current from flying back. It turns out that all I need to add to my original circuit is a neon light, you know, a lamp, a neon that, you know, like it's the little kind of orangey red light that you get, so a little glass bulb, and you get them in you get them at the end of screwdrivers, you get them on mains plugs. They run on AC, and you know, the sort of thing, indicator lights, neons, neon indicator light. It's a tiny little thing. So one of those, and a diode, and a relay, and a battery to power the thing, and you're away. And what this thing does is, once you attach a second battery to it, it will start sending very high voltage, but very, very short-lived pulses into the second battery. And as I've been trying to explain to everybody, you know, sort of, oh, I've got this new device, how's it work? Well, you know, it's quite a story. However, it's a simple principle. And what it's doing is, instead of having the very small amount of current and voltage flowing into the charging battery, what it does is that inside that coil, it turns that small amount of current into a magnetic field. When the current drops, the magnetic field collapses into the coil again. And as the magnetic field passes through a coil, it releases its energy back into the coil. So the pulse lights up the magnet, and then the magnet goes out. But the magnetism goes back into the wire and comes back out. And that's called back EMF, back electromagnetic force. No, sorry. Electromotive force. Back EMF. And, it's as the guy said, you know, as the teacher said, it's an annoyance. And in fact, there is a device on your car, which is known as a condenser, which is also known as a capacitor. And that removes the effect of the spark in your car doing exactly the same thing. So essentially, this process is going on inside the field pulse coil. This is the known as the coil, and basically the spark plug sends a pulse of energy into the coil, and it's like a transformer, because what comes out is 10, you know, goes in 10, 12 volts and comes out 24,000 volts or something. And that's what drives your spark, sparks the engine in the car and makes the car run. In the old days, you know, back before electronic ignitions did the same sort of thing, but without the, all the mechanical bits. So what we've got is, what was an annoying energy. And now, here's the thing. This is the magical bit. This is the bit that makes the whole thing very, very useful. Is that when you place an old battery across the output of the device, all right? So you've wired the thing up, and you've got the diodes all in the right place, and you've got the little neon, you connect the battery, and the thing goes, whee! Okay, what it's got then is you have two wires that then you can clip onto a new battery, or your battery that you require to be charged. Just like any other car charger or battery charger, you know. But the magic thing about this is it's not supplying a steady flow of current as it does. It supplies the same amount of current, but it takes the amount of voltage and current, and instead of it being released over, you know, 20 milliseconds, it releases it in 1 millisecond. So it's the same amount of energy, but released very much in a shorter time. So there's a much higher amount of juice that's going to go through. So it's like a big punch. It's like a big fist. maybe, you know, something's compressed to a flat disk and then sent through a tube. I don't know. So I'm trying hard to find the appropriate words to describe what's going on. But anyway, this creates a little pulse. In fact, a very large pulse, and this pulse repeats, you know, sort of dozens of times a second. So it's turning a very small steady current, a DC current, into a very highly, highly pulsed current, lots of spikes. So, again, why does this have to do with my consumer batteries and all of these things? Alright, so, you buy yourself a cordless electric drill, or a cordless this or that, or a this or that or the other. And the first few weeks it's working lovely. And then the second few weeks it's just a little less spunky. And then by 6 months this thing, you know, hardly turns over, and you leave it and it's in the garage. And you don't see it. You know, it's just another thing that you spent money on, but you got no use out of it because its promise was not fulfilled. Its promise of cordless power was not fulfilled. And here's the reason why. In the battery is what's known as a junction. Okay, so let's take apart a battery. What is it? A battery is two metals that are separated by some kind of goo, scientific term. This goo can be either alkaline or it can be acidic, depending on the metals and what the use of the metals are. Essentially, when you have like a lithium polymer battery or anything like that, what you've got is basically two pieces of foil that are separated by some form of goo. And then it's folded up and rolled up and packed into a little case, and electrodes are soldered to the outside, and that's what we call a battery. Actually that's what we call a cell, and when you can stack them up, that's what we call a battery. So our little PP3 that I was talking about before is the little cells. There's about, I think about half a dozen of these little cells inside this little package. Square battery thing. Anyway, so we've got the two sheets of foil, and what happens is that as the battery is being charged and discharged, as the current is moving from plate to plate, one plate is building up with charge, one plate is building up with positive charge, and as the energy is drained from it, and the way this thing works is if you imagine the whole thing unfolded and laid out, you've got two plates of metal which are very, very small and thin, but they're still essentially to all intents and purposes two big plates of metal, and one of them is held at a different potential to the other, and they're separated by a membrane of some kind that allows some kind of electrolytic convection to happen between them, which allows the charge to build up on one side, and that's what we call a battery. The same thing is called a capacitor. The difference is the manner in which they're charged and discharged, really. That's all. Anyway. Anybody in the chat room? So this is the thing. As you say, Tracy, our power sources leak. And what happens is that between these two sheets of metal, these two foil sheets, you have an electrolytic gel, and that holds the two sheets apart, and then the whole thing is rolled up, folded up, and stuffed into a little canister. And what happens is that during the life of the battery, it's like an electroplating situation, where atoms from one sheet start drifting across to the other, and they gather and it's like they gather in a pile, and it becomes building up like a stalactite. So you've got these metal stalactites and stalagmites building up inside the battery, and eventually it gets to a point when the stalactites and the stalagmites meet, and that creates a wire, and the battery is dead, because suddenly instead of being held at different potentials at different charges, it's connected, and it's held at the same potential, which means there's no potential, which means that now there's a dead battery in your hands, or in your piece of equipment, in your electric drill, or your cordless lawnmower, or your this or that. So that's the situation that we find. We find ourselves with piles of these devices, you know, for want of a better word, supposedly rechargeable, supposedly usable in the field, you know. And I'm talking also about car batteries as well. They do the same thing. You know, you have to keep buying new ones. And, you know, there's a large amount of material, metal and acid and all sorts of toxic things. You don't want to have too many of these traveling around the environment. So the best thing is to keep them running. How cool it would be if there was a device that could rid us of those little metal stalactites and stalagmites inside the battery. Wouldn't it be cool? Okay. So, if anybody would like me to explain that once again, and why it's so cool, I'd be very happy to. But it is, I mean, it's really something I need to show, and I'm going to be building a video now. All right. I was trying to explain this to my very, very non-technical nature girl girlfriend this evening. She was kind of really, you know, a bit nonplussed about it. What's this thing making this whining sound? And why is this tiny little box connected to this enormous car battery? And she found it very amusing that, is she in the chat room now? She found it very amusing that, I had this massive 12 volt car battery, 55 amp hour, that came out of my hearse. Massive battery. It's bigger than a car battery, you know. It all is connected by, you know, these straggly wires into this tiny little thing, no more than an inch and a half cube. She found that very amusing. But that's the relay. That's the heart of the thing. Okay. So. Okay. So I've explained. I hope you know. I'm happy to do it again if you didn't get it the first time. But why batteries break down? Why they become useless after a while. That it's a process of build-up of metal ions, metal atoms, on the plates that go inside them, that join with the plate that is the other half of it, and when they join, the battery loses its potential difference, and therefore its voltage. So the problem are those little stalactite, stalagmite hairs that exist inside the batteries. And this is where the previously mentioned device comes in. So, remember I was saying, it takes all the energy of that would be a smooth thing, and it's chopped up into very, very fine and extremely potent spikes. And it takes those, and you can whack these spikes into anything. And when you do that, guess what? These little hairs, these little stalactite, stalagmite hairs, burn out. They're vaporized. They're shorted out. Poof. It's like a flash gun. Remember the old forms of flash? The bulbs. There used to be a bulb. And what was inside the bulb was material called magnesium. And between the two electrodes was this long, long strand of magnesium wire. And when you wanted to take a photograph, there was a capacitor that built up again. You know, you have the similar principle. You're building up this steady voltage into the capacitor. I don't know if you remember the old-fashioned flash guns that had the magnesium thing. They would always go, you know, you would hear this little whistle, and that would be the a circuit very similar to what I'm talking about, building up a very high voltage in order to short out on that magnesium in the bulb, and all this happens in a split second. And you apply the current, and this magnesium gets electrified and turns into white powder, and the biggest white flash you can imagine. And that's how flash guns work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, you gotta talk to your batteries in a Poirot voice, are you? Oh yes, you gotta talk to your batteries, your D cells and your C cells. Anyway, so here's the thing. We've all got these devices, we've all got laptops that, you know, would be fine, except you can't take them anywhere because the battery's useless. Wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow recondition these batteries that come as part of a dedicated power pack? Recondition them and make them rechargeable again, and everything will be happy. And then our devices will work, and we won't have to throw them away. I'm sure Bill Gates will be not so happy, but maybe Steve Jobs may see, looking down from the afterlife, what a mess he's made, and start putting stuff like that around. Look, batteries are useless things because they build up these little hairs. This device can regenerate a battery. Now, I'm not saying just the mobile phone battery. You can anything that's got a battery, anything that's cordless. I had an old motorcycle battery, a little 6-volt lead acid battery, and it was pretty useless. I tried recharging it once, and it all bulged out, and it was just not very well. It was one of the first things that I started messing about with my device, and so I left it connected for a couple of hours. Came back a little while later, and what I've been getting was something like it wouldn't go more than 6.23 volts, and this is a lead acid battery, so it should have gone like 7.5, it was very poorly. You know, I would put it into its duty, which was just, I mean, this poor little battery. It was a motorbike battery, so it usually got lots of current and lots of juice. And I was running like just a couple of strips of LEDs, like nothing. It was, you know, had no duty at all, hardly any work to do, you know, just light these LEDs, you know, and it should last for days. But this poor little thing, it was lasting an evening, and then, you know, petering out, and all the lights were going dim, and it was very boring. So, since it was, as far as, you know, most things are concerned, that would have been a piece of waste material. You know, throw that thing away. I plugged it into my device. A few hours later, I take the device on. You know, I'm unplug the thing, and I can feel this thing, and it's going as well. You know, just the battery that had been recharged was also vibrating with that same vibration. And I put my meter across it, and I was getting like 7.8 volts. And I was thinking, this is very good. So I was able to revive this battery. This what they call a gel battery, sealed lead acid. You can get them for burglar alarms and things like that. It's usually a kind of rectangular block thing. And it's very reliable. I've got a couple of tags on it. They're very reliable, but once they die, they die. And now you know why batteries die. They build up on these little things. So I've got this device and I plug it in and it does its work for a few hours. I don't know how long it would have taken. I'm going to see how long it takes. I've got various dead batteries. I've got lots and lots of dead batteries. Because I've been waiting for this day. Waiting for the day when this thing starts working. And this afternoon, I plugged this 6-volt battery into the lighting system that I've got in my hallway. LED lights. And despite the fact that it was in the day, I could see how bright these LEDs were lit. So I was quite pleased with myself. And I left it running. And it's now about 6 hours later. And they're still really brightly lit. They're still very happily lit. So I think this is the first success. I then had an old electric drill, you know, cordless electric drill, Bosch. I loved it. It was a really chunky, nice little thing, very reliable. And then one day the battery died and it wouldn't recharge anymore and it would go, run out of spunk. I hooked that one up this afternoon as well, and lo and behold, I now have another electric drill. So, brothers and sisters, there is hope. We don't have to throw things away. We don't have to buy new things. We can fix things that were apparently unfixable. I think that's pretty revolutionary myself. Would anybody like to call in? I would very much like to speak to people. Right. Okay. Yes. Flux capacitor. Right. So let's see. I'm laughing at Tracy, who's always wanting me to say things in a pirate voice. Yeah. All right. Dolly lost me on relay. I'm just looking back at it. Dolly lost me on relay. This sounds like a physics class. Okay, yeah, it's strong with the doodads. It's all of the... Right, power sources leak. Found the holy grail of power source. The escape is captured, recycled, and self-replicates. Right, so, yes. Yeah, so, okay, so I have a feeling from the... Yeah, so that's the other thing, is that... I'm now, so I have a solar array that I made a little wooden frame and, put some chicken wire over them and wired them all together. It keeps evolving, mainly because it keeps breaking. So it's kind of ever more robust as each version that I make is slightly more robust. The first one had a sheet of glass over the front that was held on by glue, and of course the glue melted in the sun, and the big sheet of glass fell to the concrete floor and smashed into 1,000 pieces. So Mark II has chicken wire holding the things on, but I don't think chicken wire is a good thing because I think it's absorbing energy and casting shadows and things like that. So anyway, I've got more ideas. There was the young boy who had a solar panel that had the panels arranged like leaves on a tree, and I think I might do something like that, use that sort of geometry to optimize the sunlight. Because I'm getting, you know, quite a good bit of sunlight on the roof and things like that, so I'll see what I can do there, capture some of that. So, yes. Michael J. Fox. Yeah, so basically, yes, as you say, Eagle, throwaway society is something that we can kind of put the brakes on, because these batteries, they're made with, you know, very little tolerances. They're chucked together, you know, they're thrown together, and with little care, because they know that, you know, 80% of them are going to work. 20s, but you know, that last 20%, they hope to capture in the quality assurance. What is it? Quality control department. But you know, they know that a certain amount of batteries, you know, a good 5%, are probably going to flake out during service. So they always make more. I used to have a girlfriend who worked at IBM, and they would always, you know, overrun by maybe, you know, a factor of a fifth. So that's, you know, you can get lots of bargains because that's what they do. You know, they'll have an extra group of things when they install, when they do a rollout. They'll make a lot of over redundance and then sell it off because, you know, it's just an insurance policy. I'll stop muttering about that. Back to the point. The point is that we've got the ability to recharge batteries to a better condition than they were when we got them out of the factory. And this is hacking electricity. So this is the first stage. We can get things done, and this is like a way to maintain batteries. You could have one of your batteries on this device, you know, every few months. You just put it on there, and it will kind of cleanse it out. It's a kind of energy cleansing thing. I'm just asking Trace to call in. First of all, it's a very fast way of charging a battery. So that's one of the first things, you know, because battery charging is pretty wasteful. Again, it's like throwing thousands and thousands of ping pong balls at a net, and eventually there will be enough that will cover the net and start filling the net with the ping pong balls. But it's very wasteful because there's a lot of balls that will just fly through the net. And that's the kind of thing. It's like trying to catch foam in a net. That's charging a battery. And what this process does is to take the battery, to make that process, very quick, very, very highly concentrated, and, basically a whole different level. Imagine you had a car that could be charged up like that. In fact, you can make a motor. This is the next phase of this technology. Is you can make a motor that does this. That not only provides motive power, but can also send a pulse of current back into charging another battery. This is called the Bedini system, made by a fellow. Guess what? His name was Bedini. Yes. right. What's happening? So this fellow called Bedini who created a motor that had the same sort of idea, that had a reed switch in it and a coil. The main thing, the way this thing works, the real nub of this thing is the coil. And the bigger the coil, the stronger the pulse is essentially the essence of this. Because you know, you may ask, is there extra energy coming in here? And you could say that it's the energy of the atoms in the copper coil that are being used up, that are being consumed. It's the particles that make up the atoms within that copper coil, if you could call them particles, energies, it's all energy, But anyway, it's being converted into an electrical pulse as that field collapses. So the bigger the field, the bigger the coil, the bigger the collapse, the bigger the pulse. So that's really what you're after. If you can find a low voltage relay that is big, that's got a big chunk of copper, then you've got a really good hammer to hit those nails. Alright, so I'm gonna bring, Tracy into this connection, because she wants me to speak pirate. And, calling you. Tracy Kennedy, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you, Jay?
I'm very, 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 very. I'm very happy, actually. I mean, it's like, imagine this, Tracy. I mean, you can get this. You can get this. When I was 14, like I said, as a kid, I had my hopes dashed. I thought I'd invented something.
You did.
And I was dashed to the ground. And, you know, but anyway, here I am, now 52, and I've got this thing running in my conservatory. The postman must be freaking out because this thing's like building every day. Every day there's another component, you know. It starts off, you know, there was a solar panel on the wall, and then there was a shelf under the solar panel, and then there's more voltmeters coming in there. And
never-ending story, yes.
Yeah. So this is the thing building up. So now there's a great big car battery sitting on a marble plate, and next to it is this little black box that's going.
Yes.
And there's all these kind of hairy batteries all over the place. So okay, so let's,
so
let's
like
break it
say
down.
This one thing.
Say. I know. Go on, say it.
I know SJ is listening, so I would like to say, and I know he understands Prometheus ease like I do. he has discovered redundancy, which is the major factor in all electrical systems we have here. But most kids don't understand that, which was so cool you found it as a child, because it's not taught. What do you do with the energy that leaks? We do nothing. We let it leak until the battery dies. You have found a way to capture it, bring it back, and make another thing. So for everyone else that's listening, he can light a light bulb and then light other things, power other things. There's extra energy, and if you capture that, it not only is there, it bounds back and forth, and it powers up. And it's almost the recycling thing, that non-stopping thing that they've said they've always been looking for, but never really truly wanted to find.
Perpetual motion.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. MS Knight, losing my words.
I understand.
You found the thing.
So, let's talk more about this on the other side of this hour break. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you for listening. Evolution Radio at freedomslips.com and Wolf Spirit Radio at No Borders Radio. Well, yes, here we are. It is Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio, on Wolf Spirit Radio, on No Borders Radio. Yes, it's going all over the shop. So, yes, tonight I'm joined by Tracy Kennedy. Once again, we're talking about electric things.
Thank you very much.
Yes, it's now I understand you speak JP-nese.
I do.
You know, I keep thinking that I'm just a kind of ordinary kid, but obviously I've taken some strange turns now, gone down some interesting alleyways and learned the language, and that's it's all about the language. And when we get taught this stuff at school, it's not alive. It's like the religion as well. I could never get religion because it wasn't alive, you know. It didn't have today's stuff in it. Anyway, so this has very much today's stuff. You can, where do you want to start? People are kind of glazing over mentally, when I'm talking about this. So where does it start?
Well, for everyone who's taken any electricity in school, the thing they glaze over is there's always lossage. Any system, well, the systems that we have now and are taught have a certain amount of loose power, power that they don't explain, that's just gone, apparently gone in the ethers, and they're okay with that. They don't believe in ethers or ethereal things, but they're fine with some of the power just goes away into the air, and it's gone forever, and eventually the battery runs out, and they're fine with this. But what you captured as a child is something that I think many of us have questioned and then just thought, okay, we're wrong about this. It's got to go somewhere. Now I'm kind of questioning the events you've had in the last 6 months. Sorry, burning yourself and the excess power from your work. If you're hearing sounds, sound is a manifestation of excess power. Sound is 5 minutes between, oh my freaking God, excess of power. When you hear it, it's already charging the air. So, you know, we look outside, we see a storm, that is an electrical exchange. We see the lightning, we hear the thunder, we count the difference from the thunder strike, the lightning strike, we know the distance from that. So what you've done is made a source to capture these things. I'm surprised you didn't just use some sort of ceramic device. I'm wondering what kind of cell you use to capture it.
Well, here's the thing. I mean,
that I'm not understanding.
Jay. All right. Well, it's basically...
the energy is released and you hold it where?
The energy is released. What I've got is basically you need two batteries. You need one that is driving it and one that is being recharged by this first one. Okay? But it turns out that you can recharge many, even similar size batteries, using the system on the one charge of the first one. Does that make sense? So I've got an old car battery, right? And I can charge that up using my solar panel battery charger. I can leave that running for a couple of days, and that will bring its voltage right up. And then I can use my device plugged into this now charged battery, and then I can charge up maybe a dozen batteries, the same battery, big batteries, car batteries, refurbish them, regenerate them, off the same charge that I did that I got from the solar panel. Does that make sense?
Let me see if I'm getting this right. So the spill-off is another battery, and I'm guessing you have them at opposite charges.
The batteries are just any old battery that needs recharging.
And it's just capturing it by sitting there.
Well, the same way that your alternator in your car charges the battery. You know, in order to start the car, you need a lot of current, lots of amps. And that current is switched in through a solenoid. That's the same thing that I'm talking about. It's the same as a relay. All right. And it needs a big amount of juice to turn this motor that can start your four-cylinder engine.
Yes.
So it needs a lot. And that takes it out of the motor, that takes it out of the battery. So what happens is, as your car is running along the road, it's turning a little generator, and the generator is feeding back into the battery the energy that is now excess from the car. Cars are a really good little ecosystem, energy-wise. The one thing that cars do produce that is in great abundance is heat. You know, especially if you're in a hot country, it's a real problem if you know you're producing heat in a hot car. I can't imagine LA. I just say it would be hell. It would be hell. You know, cars everywhere, hot country, you know, all that stuff. So yes. A car is quite an ecosystem, but it runs on a very wasteful fuel. But it's the best that humans have been able to release so far, for some reason. You know, gasoline is very highly concentrated energy. It's very portable. It's slightly dangerous to carry around with, but you know, as long as you're careful, it's pretty good. So that's a good energy source. But all the rest, most energy sources have some sort of toxic in them, you know. Like lead acid batteries have lead in them and acid. You know, a lot of them have mercury cells. You know, hearing aid batteries have got mercury in them. Manganese isn't so bad. That's copper tops, the manganese. What are they? Duracells. But what are they? Lithium polymer. What's that? Nickel cadmium. Yeah, nickel cadmium. There's a good one. Cadmium, not very good. Nickel, not so bad, but cadmium, not very good. There's you know, squillions of them, nickel cadmium batteries. Original, but this system will rejuvenate even nickel cadmium. It'll rejuvenate batteries to a great degree, because what a battery is a big flat plate that can hold some charge, and as long as it's held separate from anything else, it will hold the charge. It won't leak out, and it's that degree of separateness that is impaired by build-ups of metal that happen as the battery is discharged and charged. That's another way of putting it. Was why batteries lose their spunk.
So in setting up your system...
Yes.
How many times have you hurt yourself?
Strangely enough, doing this one, none. Very strange, because, like, you know, I'm always going on about how I got a great new project. Oh, but yes, I chopped my leg off.
And then I'm burnt and I'm frying on the stove.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you don't think that was a release of energy?
Oh, yeah. Well, there were lots of things. I mean, that week, because I was doing welding.
I can see stuff. Yep.
It was last year sometime. I was doing welding, and I needed to know about plasma arcs, because we were doing the whole plasma arc, Ark of the Covenant connection link going on there, and it really needed to be burnt into me.
Well, that's
to
one
know
way.
What plasma arc was. I'm sorry?
That's one way to experience it, by doing it.
That's me.
There we go.
I'm a slow learner. Sometimes it needs a little.
No,
a little,
you have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, I have to feel it.
Yeah. Did you get the religion after that?
So yeah. So again, this is arc technology, because there is an arc that is created. There is a little spark that is generated.
Very much so.
So. Mm. Oh, yes.
You found the Holy Grail.
I discovered one of them, and like I've been going on, you know, this the joy the big joy is like I've got part of my childhood back. It's like
yes.
that childhood innocence of, you know, let's see what happens when you do this.
Let's work this thing.
Yeah. Let's make this thing happen. So that was a very interesting thing. So the main joy really is actually, you know, stepping out of this room into my hallway where I've got some LEDs. Let me just go and do it.
Okay.
Oh yeah. They are still shining brightly.
He's not zapping himself.
they're really shining brightly. As they have been doing for the last 6 hours. And that's a first. You know, this machine has actually had an effect on this battery that has changed its nature, changed its voltage. It's increased the amount of volts you can stuff into it, and it's stuffed loads of volts into it.
How long has it been powered up?
I started it running yesterday. Haven't burnt myself yet.
Do you realize there's a large part of the United States that is not covered by the water veil we usually have, and it's now just charged electricity?
All right. Not my fault.
I'm wondering what the heck you're doing over there. Some places are getting water, and that's on the east of you. The west of you is dry. Actually, completely parallel.
Yeah, so
do you have any idea on the extent of range you got?
Well, apparently, according to a local lady, it's going to rain 2 days' time. It's going to be nice tomorrow, and it's going to rain on Thursday.
Oh, you had rain. Okay, that's.
But no, that's what we're promised rain. That's the.
Oh, you haven't had any?
No, we've had lovely days. It's been beautiful. It's been really, really beautiful.
Have they been staticky at all?
Staticky? Yeah, I've had static, actually, on my system. In fact, I'm looking at a pair of plugs that I've had to remove because I was getting too much on my system. Comes through my mixing vest. I often wonder if it's EV, if I can EVP it, you know. Hello? To someone trying to talk to me. But it is.
Maybe we shouldn't talk to those things yet. It's interesting what the heck you're doing. And I like it. And of course, want to see the schematics for all of this.
Sure. And I'm gonna make a video.
Okay.
Because this is something that anyone can make. You know, this will cost you less than $10. I'm not joking. It's like bits of wire and little things that are really common. You know, if you've got enough things in your house, you could possibly make one for free. Out of, if you had maybe, an old washing machine. Washing machines have got relays in them, but they're mains relay, so that might not work. But yeah, there's all sorts of, no, hang on, there would be low voltage relays, and maybe even 5 volt relays, which would be really good. Anyway, so the idea is that this is a very, very low cost device for a very, very, effective output, because, you know, you can charge car batteries with one of these things. You can fix dead batteries. You can revive dead batteries. All is not lost. I haven't tried it yet with regular alkaline cells.
Mm.
I'm not sure if that will work. I've only been working with what are known as rechargeable batteries. So nickel cadmiums, nickel lithium, what are they?
Things that are already receptive.
Yeah, things that are called rechargeables, and the lead acid type, you know, car battery type thing. Yeah. Indeed.
And that's an amazing thing. Yeah. Why are they rechargeable? Do they have magic powers? Have they been pissed on by unicorns? I think not. It's because they are receivers.
Mm. Yeah.
Of said energy already being expelled. Perfect.
So somehow they leak very much less slowly, very much more slowly, essentially. And what we're trying to do is minimize those losses. And this system actually burns the routes that the losses go. So imagine, here's a sort of analogy. You've got a bucket, right? And there are micro fine holes at the bottom of that bucket. And very slowly water is leaking through them. If you could find something that would cauterize and seal all of the little holes, then the water would stay in the bucket, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing with this system, what this little relay system does. It cauterizes and seals the leaks in the battery. Make sense?
You have a child who gets bored easily and has no idea what to do with himself. What do you do? You give them something to do, and all of a sudden, they too are recharged. It's like that. It's not like something is lost here, even from the receiver. It's like something that wants something to do is sitting there and may even, I don't know what you think about this, Jay, but learns to receive. After a couple times, do you find the same battery charges faster?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it does learn. There is also, it's a very standard thing. It's known as the memory effect in rechargeable batteries, and it's exactly what happens. It remembers that it didn't quite discharge and it doesn't quite charge up. So somehow something has got in the way, which is, I think, you know, it's the same thing. It's these stalactites, stalagmites are making little leaks in the potential. A battery, right? What a battery is potential. It's like winding a rock up on a rope up the top of a very high building, you know. So if you were to let go of that, that potential becomes kinetic and, you know, is enough to deliver quite a blow to some headmaster who might be walking underneath or something like that. Somehow I was at school and there was a fire escape and there was stuff on the
air. I think there was a story to that one.
Yeah. Still in the physics lab. Physics lab was on the top floor of the old building and there was a fire escape outside. And of course, you know, Galileo type experiments. Was it Galileo? He used to chuck things up of Pisa. Oops, I'm sorry. Anyway. Potential. So basically, you're talking about a child. A child, when connected with its inner potential,
yes,
is fully charged. And yet, if you were to cause that to be leached out by poking pins in, yeah, by drawing that charge away from their inner core and drawing them outside and say, look at this TV, you know, or look at this cartoon. There's a film, you know. You lose.
They may not notice it's gone.
Yeah.
But it still goes. All things, our basic premise, perhaps of this entire universe, I don't know if I'm wrong on this, but we feed. We consume. We need energy. We get bored. We feed. Maybe even eating is about boredom more than anything else. Consuming is all about getting new energy in, perhaps learning something, building on that. So all things, even batteries, are waiting for a chance to be charged. Especially rechargeable batteries. We're training them to learn that their function is recharging. They want this. They're ready for this.
Yeah, they have capacity.
They have capacity.
A battery and a capacitor is the same thing. I remember talking about the flux capacitor from the. I don't know what a flux capacitor actually is. It's just a nonsense term from a science fiction movie, but it sounds good. It's got a nice rhythm to it, a flux capacitor. So, but a battery is a capacitor. A capacitor is something that can store charge. And the way it does that is like having a big island of foil in the middle of nowhere. That you can throw charge in, and the charge can live on the surface of the piece of foil. And again, its ability to hold charge is entirely due to its ability to be isolated from the world. How about that for an analogy?
How about, do you think your cells that are charging are learning?
Actually, this is a really interesting point, Trace, because I've been thinking about things and feeling that things are getting more and more responsive.
Conscious.
That, you know, your cigarette lighter might say to you, I think you've had enough to smoke tonight. You know, so it'll stop working. You know, your beer bottle will slip out of your hand if you've had enough to drink. You know, these are signs. It's time to go home. It's time to stop, you know, to put that ashtray away, you know? And yes, I've been getting that a lot. And, I wonder. So here's my first thought, my current thinking. Current thinking.
Please.
Anyway, my current thinking is, to offer on my in my local our local LET system is to offer this as a service that I can, you know, recharge batteries for people and see how that goes. And you know, people will I wonder, you know, if you got a battery pack from I mean, I did it today. It was my favorite electric drill, and it just died. And it was because of the battery inside it, and I know now that the battery can be fixed. So I'm so stoked. I'm really excited by it. You can hear it in my voice, but,
yeah, it's incredible. What you've done is incredible.
You know, so last night I was jabbering on the show, but I just assembled it, and I hadn't actually tested anything. Just again looking back at the lights behind me that are running from this battery that yesterday could only get as far as 6 volts and now can go to 7.5. And that's a real achievement.
Yeah. This is like holy grail of electricity. Freaking achievement.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I say, it's nothing that I've... I'm sorry, Chase.
I'm so excited.
I'm not a Tesla, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, this is something that anyone can do. Anyone. You know, I know, yeah, people might think, you know, well, look, you know, I'm brilliant at sewing, but, you know, I don't touch these things because they're electric and, you know, they burn and things like that. You can start off with some pretty low voltages and you know, work with smaller things, like smaller batteries, until you get the feel for the current flow, and then you can kind of scale up. This is a scalable thing. This is something you can charge one battery and you can charge 10 at the same time. That big spike is enough for everybody.
Yes. So do you have things being charged in a sealable room or no?
Not at the moment, no. I mean, like I said, you know, I'm just assembling a prototype. The next thing is actually to put this thing into a box, so that it looks a bit more serious. You know, put a heat sink on it.
So you have all your energy just hanging out there, basically.
Well, it's a prototype. It's the proof of the principle. What I'd like to do is to run workshops and show people how to do this. And, bring along some dead batteries. And we can assemble the system and get it going. And everybody gets a chance to build something, understand some principles. That would be quite a good thing. I might do that. But I would say that this is revolution. This is real stuff.
Yeah, this is super cool.
Yeah. Bless. Battery charging services. Yeah. Oh, wow. They are so behind. It's like, I think we're 2 minutes behind Revolution Radio and 4 minutes behind Wolf Spirit Radio. And I'm looking up at the Wolf Spirit chat room. It's like, oh, wow. That's what we're talking about. That was what we were talking about ages ago. But, yes. All things are alive and feel and think. Yes, that's right, Dolly. We're in a hylozoistic universe. How about that? That's a great word. Hylo means everywhere. Zoism. Zo is like zoo, animal. Everything is an alive. Everything that's the traditional aspect. Traditional point of view, isn't it?
Yeah. It's actually the basis of all religion. This thing you've discovered. This unknown thing that charges. Yeah, that's it. Meet your God.
Spark.
The spark of life.
That's right. It is the spark. It is between those contact points, there is a tiny little spark. And that's part of...
There's a time change between it. What's that? That can be slow or fast. That is incredible what you have discovered, Jay. Thank you for sharing tonight. That's amazing. I missed it. Wasn't I on your show yesterday?
Yeah.
I didn't hear this.
Yeah, but that was the first half, you see, when you weren't there.
And I was missing.
Yeah, that's the bit you missed. But there you go. So you got the...
Well, here I am back now.
That's right. There she was gone. And now here she is.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna develop this. It's gonna be another thing that I do. I've got all these different little activities
and I
just really like to pass these things on. I mean, the girlfriend turned up this evening and she's got like cabbages and kales and it's like, oh. I'm on the radio right now and you want to dig the garden. Okay, on you go. She's actually really good and spent about 20 minutes doing what I took 2 hours to do. So she's really good at the garden. So
everyone to their own talents.
That's right. That's right.
That's cool because there's always spill and someone picks up the stock you don't get.
Yeah.
It's like all systems work.
Right. Well, there's an interesting point there, Dolly.
That was cool, sweetie.
This one here, she says, I'm thinking JP should patent that. I need to lay claim to it. Number one, patents are a con. they're another scam. And essentially, I can't lay claim to it. I'm just telling you the story of how I discovered it, but I didn't discover it, you know, in the way that it's been, discovered. But I will be, you know, contributing my part, what I've learned and what the modifications, because, you know, once you get a basic design and you start working on it, you can start adding things to it. Add more diodes and, and, you know, maybe a transistor somewhere, and, you know, there are all sorts of clever things with it. And it may have other uses, but at the moment, this thing that can recharge a battery and rejuvenate a battery is, you know, it's something that is really valuable. And so, but the thing is, it's the patent. That, you know, I should not own this.
Nobility.
Yeah. I should not own this. Nobody should own this. This belongs to everybody. It doesn't, you know, it was already there before I came along. So I haven't discovered it, in this community. So it, you know, it really doesn't matter. It's just that I'm part of the huge collective that is bringing this thing through, and I'm really enjoying that.
And magical.
Yeah, well, it is magic. I mean, magnetism is magic, isn't it?
Yes, Merlin, it sure is.
Yeah. It's, oh yeah, light, yeah, speed of light ain't what it used to be either. Yeah, very good. So,
everything's magic until we understand it.
That's right.
Or at least have it around us enough that we don't even care how it works. We just are used to it.
Yeah. I mean, look how many people now understand, or not understand, but at least are used to the idea of Wi-Fi. Right? Everybody is used to Wi-Fi. You know, you can just, you understand that, you know, somehow the signal of the internet gets to your phone or to your laptop, no matter where you're at the house.
Rays are passing from one thing to another.
That's right.
And we're just supposed to accept that. Us non-believers.
That's right.
And yet it works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So everyone who picks up said Wi-Fi device, sacrilege.
Burn them.
Burn them all.
So anyway, everybody understands now that Wi-Fi exists, and that also, you know, radios exist, and you can go from station to station, and you won't hear one station when you're listening to another station. You're just hearing that station. So that's an example of different planes of reality. Or subplanes of reality, and you could say that the wave bands are the planes. You know, like the long wave, medium wave, short wave. Now we know that Wi-Fi is its own channel. You know, that's another holographic dimension. We're beginning to understand the nature, the science of the universe. And, I think that's where I like to sit, to be that point of contact, to say, look, the universe really does make a great deal of sense. And a lot of it is, you can compare with electricity, and a lot of it you can, and then as well, you can compare electricity and the flow of electricity, the flow of water. So in the end, it all comes down to water. Be water, my friend.
We all adapt, do we not?
Mm-hmm.
We adapt in so many different ways, and it seems almost like magic. Everything we're talking about sounds so outrageous. And when you were talking at first, JP, mm-hmm. I saw a lot of people going, what the hell? No, this is just normal. This is just the way things work. It's not your fault you don't understand these things or not taught these things. If we have been shown some of the basic premise of life, where certain sparks make life live, breathe, there must be a spark, there must be energy exchange. Even the whole male-female thing, or male-male, female-female, I don't judge. But there must be a connection to create even love. All power works on these things. everything works on this basis. It's not so far off. We're just not taught the mechanical names of such things. But when they're put down to our basic level, we do understand them. He's talking about a boy and a girl that are kept apart so long. They want each other and they don't even know what they want. They get together and with their togetherness create a child. That child is created by excess energy, not something outside, not something weird. It's something else. That child will go on further to meet another person and create something else. This is what we're talking about. JP is talking about the spark of life, and it runs in all things. Sounds like just a battery, but the same premise works. It's all the same thing. And we all know it. We feel it. I don't have to tell you what love is. No one can tell you what love is. No one can tell you what attraction is. No one can tell you what, oh my God, I just hate being around that person. You feel it right away. You just know. Something attracts you, something repulses you. We're built on these premises. And why would not everything else be built on the same thing? You embraced our humanity, JP. I love that.
Well, there you go.
I'm just in soft voice when they say it.
Well, there you go. So we've my microphone's just come loose.
You see what I did to him?
Yeah, you make my power. He has power over my cables.
I wrecked his whole cables. Hello.
So yeah, they're talking about in the chat room. Well, what I want to do is. I'm going to make a YouTube video. I'm going to see the next thing. Everything I do requires something else to happen, you know. So I need a thing to hold my phone to work as a video camera. You know, I need like a little stand.
Well, I'm sure
one of those.
Volunteers.
No, it's got to be on a stand because people jiggle the thing and it looks 100 times better if it's on a tripod.
And everything.
Yeah. You've got to do it. You've got to make it look good.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The camera. I have to make the camera.
Okay.
I'd like other people who are interested in doing this in their very own home, to get in touch with me, you know, jp@everbeyond.info, or, you know where to find me on the radio shows, everbeyond.info, and I'm very interested in disseminating information like this, and making it, just making it available, just showing people how easy it is to do it, with something that you can probably find in a dump. Really, you know, old washing machines. Oh, I tell you, old washing machines are brilliant. There's all sorts of bits inside those things that are wonderful. Number one, you've got a massive motor, right? You can use the motor for all sorts of things, pulleys and all sorts of bits and pieces. It's got loads of relays that switch the power. It's got big pieces of sheet steel that you can use to make other things. What else was a washing machine? Oh yeah, the drum. It's got a drum that is made of stainless steel. It doesn't rust, right? And if you mount one of those, you put one of these on, you could make a concrete platform or something like that. They make fantastic barbecues. Because you can load them with sticks because of all the holes, the air gets into the fire well, and you can put a wok. A wok will sit perfectly on the top of a washing machine drum used as a barbecue. I'm really into recycling and repurposing and making things new, or making old things into new things, and using something not for its original purpose, but equally useful.
Well, finding a way to use something. Nothing is done. Things can be used, and they kind of like it. Oh. We don't know where consciousness ends. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it isn't alive. Maybe a washing machine drum is good because it likes being used. We don't know.
Mm. So, we've got about a quarter of an hour left. Energy is a big part of my life, about what it is. Not only what it is, but also how it can be transformed. And it then comes down to the fact that we are energy. So we can be transformed. So there's never any need to judge, because everything can be transformed since it's just energy, isn't it? So whether you're a Rothschild or a Rockefeller or a rebel or a righteous man or woman or whatever, you can change. You've got, because you're just energy. We're all just energy. And that's what the seven rays are. And that's what atomic physics is discovering. Step by step, they're discovering what they've been told for thousands of years by the old men in the mountains.
We can touch all these things and play with them. And find what works for us, not judge ourselves and other people by what we like, and then press our joy further. I would love to see more people doing that. Have you ever heard of something like anti-riot, Jay? Like, there's a whole bunch of people suddenly having fun to the point where people went out in the streets and started having fun with them.
That sounds like a nice idea.
The cops, because of the fun was spreading. Have you heard that story?
Is that new?
I'd like to hear that story once.
Oh.
People were out dancing so much that other people had to leave the building and come and join them.
Nearly happened in Ottawa. Was it Ottawa? They certainly were dancing outside the buildings.
Yeah, I'd like to hear a whole bunch of people going outside and just having a random moment of fun, a random funny. I'd like to hear that. We can have random moments of riots, apparently. And bloodletting festivals where we chase freaking bulls down the street. Which is a little bit retarded, I'm going to say. So why don't we do something with this incredible amount of energy, like you just did, and found a way to capture energy. Let's find a way to capture fun and infect each other with that. Let's find some joy for a minute, because there isn't enough. And we have some stuff that is altogether far too intense right now. Like, seriously, Jay, I talked like this, it was a joke, but we've got a whole spot over the U.S. and over the ocean that has no water now. That's never happened in the records I can find. Normally, we all know condensation, all that kind of stuff. Water rises up. This spot that has almost no condensation, it's dry. That just means it's charged. That means somewhere between OMG and WTF.
So it's last couple of days, did you say?
It's a bad thing.
Was that the last couple of days, did you say?
So what you're doing is awesome, Jay, and I just am so grateful to hear it. And thank you so much for inviting me on. I needed some good news. Because pretty much it feels like I'm up to my knees in death with what's going on here on this planet.
Mm. Yeah, well, this is another...
I would like to step out of the bloodbath.
Mm. Another part of the whole thing, the whole Agenda 21 thing, this is a lot of people are talking about it, Codex Alimentarius, all this stuff about they want to kill us all. Okay, well, this is revolutionary because if you grow your own vegetables, you can do that. You can not be killed. If you don't partake of their poison, then you won't be harmed by it, really. So... eat the weeds, grow some veg, eat local, support your local friends, and, you know, trade with your friends. That's what I say. That's revolutionary. Trade with your friends. Most people trade with your enemies. Yeah. Revolutionary. Be it. You have to be it. You have to... You know, we'll live it, eh? Eh? Yeah. Trace, where are you going?
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Let's do stuff. Let's dance on the streets. Let's have fun. Let's build something that creates. Our ancestors used to do it. We're unburying stuff that they did. That was pretty freaking awesome. Mm. Let's be awesome again. We're not different.
I think we should definitely increase the awesomeness of all these things that we can do. And we, you know, we can have really nice times. We can have little gatherings. Start small again. I'm really into small groups, and you can share the stories and get the understanding. And that's why, you know, a lot of people say, you know, what are you bothering with, you know, audiences of a very small number? And I said, well, if you have a group in your local area, and you were to have 15 people turn up to your talk, that wouldn't be too bad, would it? You know, and yet we're getting audiences in much larger numbers than that now. It's growing.
Huge, huge numbers.
Growing.
And we are sitting around a fire, really.
Well, literally, I'm about 6 feet from a fire in my stove, and it's probably coming over the mic. You can probably hear the crackling and popping in the background. So, there we go.
Thank you so much for inviting me tonight, Jay.
You're very welcome. Will you let everybody on Revolution Radio and No Borders Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio know where they can find you?
You can find me on turtleislandnews.info, Monday to Friday. I'm always there. Come on down. Buy a carpet.
And Friday night is alien night, isn't it?
Yeah, Friday during the day, Friday is Alien Day. We will talk about aliens only on Friday. That's a rule.
Okay, Venus Day. You can find me on everbeyond.info and www.steelbadge.com.
www.ohmygodhisvoicesoundssosexy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Just everyone, just, you need to recognize the fact, I can't believe how I talked in a coherent manner to JP for an hour and a half.
Held it together. You did it very well, Tracy.
Did I?
Almost appeared not to be dissolving.
Well, I'm pretty much thinking, what? That was awesome. See how I've grown up. I can talk to you like you're a person and everything.
All right. Yeah.
There you go. Until you talk like a pirate.
Well, maybe I Oh, yeah, save that for last, because that's the hidden treasure of being able to talk like someone from the Southwest Country. So, with that, this was Journeys with JP, with Tracy Kennedy, for some reason, laughs at a Southwest accent. Where's the little bell?
That's awesome.
Where's the bell? It's normally here. Oh, well, it's I've probably still got another problem. There we are. Oh, bless you. Brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, thank you very much. Hey, God be with you until tomorrow. Join me in Soul Expressions with Matthew Bartzis. Bye.